What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time on this morning's programme to take our last look for this week. Some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The epidemiological report of the Ministry of Health for Thursday reveals in the last 24 hours 11 people died from COVID-19, bringing the accumulated number of deaths now to 8,058. Regarding new infections, there are 787 detected after applying 8,631 tests, which showed a positivity of 9.1%. Active cases, we now have 8,596, of which 8,358 are in home isolation and 238 are hospitalised. Of those in isolation, they're divided into 8,325 at home and 33 in the so-called hospital hotels. Those hospitalised are 196 in the wards and 42 in the intensive care units. In recent weeks, Panama's experienced a sharp decline in the incidence of active cases of COVID-19. This was reported by the Pan-American Health Organization, the PAHO, in its report on the country's epidemiological situation. According to the PAHO biweekly report, in the last 4 weeks, Panama registered a decrease in active cases of 85.7%. It is highlighted that after registering the highest historical values of positivity, which was 35.1%, and the incidence of active cases of 1,949 per 100,000 inhabitants in epidemiological week 3, EW3, this was from January the 16th to the 22nd, an abrupt drop to 13.1% positivity. In addition, the incidence of active cases fell to 279 per 100,000 inhabitants in epidemiological week 7. This is from the 13th to the 19th of February. Similarly, it is highlighted that all age groups reflected a notable decrease in the incidence of cases in the last 4 weeks. The PAHO details that from epidemiological week 3 to week 7, the greatest decrease in incidence occurred in the group aged 20 to 39 years, which went from 2,260 to 224 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. That's 90.1%. Then came the group from 40 to 59, which went from 1,962 to 229 cases per 100,000 inhabitants, a drop of 88.3%. The group from 60 to 79, which fell from 1,522 cases to 224, that's 85.2% decline. Those aged 80 and over went from 1,180 to 259, 78%, and those under 20 years of age from 745 to 121, a 70.3% decrease. The Ministry of Health reiterated on Thursday that from the 25th of February, that's today, to March the 6th, all activities involving crowds are suspended, and warned that sanctions will be applied for failing to comply with the decree that suspends the carnival. In a statement, the entity, it is recalled that Executive Decree 6 of the 27th of January of this year prohibits activities related to carnival, such as dances, cantaderas, irons, lasso competitions, mergas, tunas, and mojaderas. The provision was issued to prevent the spread of COVID-19, and the authorities reported that the health teams will be carrying out surveillance operations in coordination with other security entities. Any activity that promotes disorder and crowds is prohibited during the rest period and can continue with the favourable epidemiological indicators, said the Director General of Public Health of the Ministry, Melva Cruz. Cruz warned that for non-compliance with the norm, the sanctions will be applied according to the fault, and the economic fines can reach up to $5,000. The official emphasised that the epidemiological indicators are in a clear decline, recalling that at the beginning of the fourth wave, daily cases exceeded 10,000, and that on Wednesday the figure was 750 infections. We can talk about leaving the fourth wave if the population continues to cooperate with biosecurity measures, vaccination, and all the measures implemented by the Ministry of Health since the cases have been decreasing, Cruz said. The Second Administrative Electoral Court lifted on Wednesday the electoral criminal jurisdiction of former President Ricardo Martinelli at the request of the third liquidator judge of criminal cases, Paloisa Martinez. Alma Cortes, Martinelli's lawyer, told La Prensa that the defence had already been notified of the ruling and announced an appeal, so the case now goes to the plenary session of the Electoral Court. Martinez asked the Electoral Court to lift Martinelli's electoral criminal jurisdiction. He is charged with two open processes, the payment of bribes by Odebrecht and the alleged use of public funds to acquire Editora Panama America S.A.R. Martinelli has had electoral jurisdiction since the 28th of January because the party he presides over, Realizing Goals, is in the process of internal elections in the boards of directors. The edict, which is dated the 23rd of February, informs about the lifting of the jurisdiction of the former president and has the signature of the judicial secretary, Nidia Elena Osorio Mendoza. Cortes record that the full electoral tribunal magistrates have 8 days to answer the appeal. After the former president's defence reported the electoral criminal jurisdiction, Martinez postponed the preliminary hearing of the new business case for the 19th of May. Meanwhile, the preliminary hearing for the Odebrecht bribes is scheduled for the 18th of July. The Council of the European Union has kept Panama on its list of non-cooperative countries and territories for tax purposes in an update of the list published on the 24th of February. In addition to Panama, the list includes Fiji, Guam, US Virgin Islands, Palau, Samoa, American Samoa, Trinidad and Tobago, and Vanuatu. The Council regrets that these countries and territories continue not to cooperate for tax purposes and invites them to collaborate with the Code of Conduct Group to resolve the problems detected, said the European body in a statement, which added that in the list or annex, only those countries and territories that have either not engaged in a constructive dialogue with the EU on tax governance or have not fulfilled their commitment to introduce the necessary reforms are listed. The Council noted that Panama is not rated as broadly compliant with the Global Forum of Transparency and Exchange of Information for tax purposes with regard to the exchange of tax information upon request, and that the country has a source income exemption regime, which is harmful. Deputies and former deputies at the Communication and Transport Commission of the National Assembly are related to the organisations with the largest number of transport quotas. This is the case of Bocas del Toro, where 8 of 15 organisations that together have more than 500 operating certificates, selective and collective. They are linked to the Deputy Benicio Robinson, a native of that province. These links are reflected in three quota databases, two delivered by the National Land Traffic and Transportation Authority, the ATT&T, to La Prensa, after a request for information covered by the transparency law, and another delivered by the ATT&T to the deputy Gabriel Silva through a habeas data. Compared, both lists present inconsistencies. La Prensa tried to talk to the current director of the ATT&T, but did not respond to the more than four calls and messages that were left for him. Likewise, an interview was requested with Robinson, indicating that it was to verify the companies with quotas related to him, and he didn't answer. Transportation is handled by politicians, and they have figureheads and corporations. This was told to the La Prensa newspaper by the owner of a concessionaire with more than 1,000 transport quotas who requested anonymity to avoid reprisals against his business. Every time a member takes out the license plate, we charge $85 a year. That's the dealership business. Others charge $100 a year. If the drivers refuse to pay, they don't give up the quota. They give it to someone else willing to pay. But processing the plate, the quota or certificate of operation, costs just $10 at the Land Transit and Transportation Authority, he added. Per year, the concessionaires have an income of about $500,000 only in license plates, without counting other businesses that generate these certificates. So, how does it work? Well, the ATT&T directive says that it is going to get 1,000 taxi quotas. They distribute them among the concessionaires. For example, 100 each, 60 have to be paid, and 40 are free. The money is paid in cash to the directors of the AT&T, who send an official to collect it, the source revealed. The plenary session of the National Assembly approved the bill number 756 on the Autonomous University of Chiriquí, UNACHI. They did it this Thursday, the 24th of February, in the third debate. When opening the third debate of the project, none of the deputies present took the floor to speak about the convenience or non-convenience of the norm. The controversial bill was approved with 38 votes in favour, just two more than the minimum required. Five deputies voted against and one deputy abstained. The first article indicates that the current rector of UNACHI, this is Eta Lavina de Bonegas, is allowed to seek re-election again. As no deputy took the floor during the third debate and the voting proceeded, and then the deputy president of the assembly, Crispiano Adames, proceeded to sign and posed for the corresponding photos. The second debate on said project was plagued by recesses and strong interventions by the independent deputies regarding the true political motivations behind the initiative, which was presented by the PRD deputy Raul Pineda. During the process of debate in the assembly, all the stages, student and administrative groups in David, Chiriquí, have demonstrated against the bill. During the third debate of the same, demonstrations were registered in the city of David. Once approved, the rule will be sent to the executive branch for eventual sanction by President Laurentino Cortizo. Well, that's it. There we go. Those are some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on this morning's Breakfast Show.